gave the Great Commission? Who else but Jesus? Who else could say, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth? This same Jesus has complete authority over everyone, everything, everywhere. He's the source of the Great Commission. And as creator, Jesus has the original right to all things. Every question, every response, every command carries with it his stamp of authority. So these 11 disciples go to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Pay attention. They followed his instructions and they went where he told them to come to. They made themselves available. Have you ever been in a situation where your intent was to show gratitude or be a blessing to someone, and instead you were the one that got the blessing? Well, that happened to me about a year ago. My daddy had been sick in and out of the hospital, and he came home from the ER, and they wrote a prescription that I had to have filled once we got back home. Well, I quickly realized that this necessary drug was very expensive and in short supply. I was in a panic. I tried to control the situation like I always do. So I went to the pharmacy to pick up the medication, only to find they did not have it. And I knew that if we couldn't get the medicine, we'd be going back to the ER, and that would not be good news. So later I get a phone call back from the pharmacist who explained to me what the dilemma was. And he stayed on the phone for 30 minutes. And he would put me on hold trying to find a pharmacy that was nearby. I was so grateful for this man's special care. I later found out that he purposely discounted the amount of that prescription. I was so relieved. Do you know that your greatest ability that you can give to God is your availability? Remember, the disciples were ordinary men. They had faults, failures, they were broke, just like us. But Jesus chose them from various professions and all walks of life. The amazing thing that we read in the gospel accounts is that when Jesus called these men, they left whatever it was they had previously been doing, and they followed him. They certainly weren't capable. God was. You might be thinking, I'm not capable. And yes, we are not capable. You don't have to be like your neighbor or somebody that you work with or somebody you're sitting next to church in. You don't have to be like Travis. We don't have to be like Pastor. If you are a disciple and a follower of Christ, God can use you where you are. So if we're a disciple of Christ, how do we fulfill this Great Commission? Sounds like a big task. Well, we can begin by following the instructions that are in that verse that's in 19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So if you're taking notes, Sandra, here's shorthand. Write down, go and make disciples. Baptize, teach. So you notice in this passage that it says, go and make disciples of all the nations. What did that say? All. It didn't say some part, a little bit of it. It says all the nations. So a definition of all would include everything or everyone without exception. A whole, entire. So as Christians, we're the ones that need to make the effort to go. And as we go, we might be in places that make us feel uncomfortable, might force us to leave our comfort zone. Reach out to people that are different from us. Dave, we talked about that this morning, didn't we? I can't think of an agenda greater than that of sharing the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel. He lived the gospel. And he died for the sake of our salvation. And then he commissioned us to share this good news with the world around us. I was in a drive-thru this week. I won't tell you where I was at. Krispy Kreme. And the attendant, when she took my order, she was so, like, kind, just pleasant, totally pleasant. And so I pull up, and it takes me a while to go up, but I had my window down, and there's 5 or 6, 7 cars coming back behind me. I could hear her take every single order, and every single time she was nice. And it wasn't like a pre-rehearsed thing. You could just tell that she was just a nice person. So when I got up to the window, I looked at her and I said, "Thank you." And she kind of looked at me and I said, "You are so kind and nice. How do you do that all day long? I know you probably get some really grouchy customers." And she said, "I do." She said, "I just keep moving." Then she blessed me and I took my donuts and I left, drove off. But I thought about that. What a way for us to live. Make the effort wherever we go. Carry the good news with us everywhere we go. An aspect of making a disciple is teaching them to observe all that's been commanded. That process of learning is a lifelong action. And I know you've heard Pastor say this, and I may be paraphrasing it, but he always says that we're here on earth being trained, and once we've learned it and we've got it, then Jesus calls us home. Making a disciple is not an educational exercise. It's not a Bible study. It's not kneeling down and praying 10 times a day. It's not saying the blessing over food. It really is your interaction with someone else. When you share with someone how Jesus has changed your life, you share with them who you used to be. And then you share with them who you're becoming through God's grace. Disciple making is intentional. We know exactly what we're doing. In the earlier part of Matthew, Jesus says, "Come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." So in turn, we're asking others to come and follow Jesus with us. It's intentional. The last commandment given by Jesus could be considered our marching orders. It could be considered our training manual for life and ministry. Our fellowship, our outreach, even our worship revolves around being and making disciples. And that's what we're doing here this morning. John 13 says that love should be the distinguishing mark of a disciple. That you love one another just as I have loved you. This is the kind of love that makes a difference. This is the kind of love that's real. It's not fake. And this is the kind of love that overwhelms you and pours out of you. So when somebody sees you, like that lady at Krispy Kreme, the attendant, it just oozed out of her. She couldn't help it. The Great Commission ends with a great promise. Jesus is with us always, even to the end of the age. His presence gives us purpose, it gives us encouragement, and it also gives us authority. And if Christ was not with us, we could not hope to complete or even begin this task. We're not capable. But with Christ, he is, and all things are possible. I think sometimes we forget that. I don't know if you know what the mission statement is of the United Methodist Church. If you don't, I'm going to tell you what it is. The mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Wow. So we're not only called to be disciples, but disciple makers. I remember thinking back over people in my life that were disciple makers for me. Some of my Sunday school teachers, I didn't realize it at the time, but later, boy, they poured into me. They held me accountable. They taught me the word. They were women of faith. They were determined in their action. They were intentional. They were available. Patsy, this is for you. I did a lot of time this week researching discipling, and there's lots of stuff on Mr. Google, some good, some bad. But I found an article that was called Front Yard Intentional Conversation. Front Yard Intentional Conversation. Let me share it with you. "Why am I telling you my whole life story?" Kay exclaimed, as she realized that the front yard conversation with Ann and Tom Brooke had become very deep and vulnerable. The Brooks knew why she had opened up. They had been gently intentional and prayerful about creating a safe and a comfortable atmosphere to connect with their neighbors in their front yard. "Putting a table and chairs in the front of our front yard has helped create an environment of connection," Ann shared. "We started with the front porch, but, you know, she started with the back porch, but she read how a turquoise table on the front lawn could cause someone to look at it twice. It could draw attention, and it could offer the opportunity for somebody to linger. I don't think we linger enough. So she says, "We took that step rather than it always being in our backyard." What a statement. Let's move it from the backyard where nobody can see it to the front yard where maybe somebody might see it. Tom would often sit in the front yard in the morning reading his Bible, and he would pray for his neighbors. When somebody would stop by and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" he would tell them. And he would say that they were always like positive and would stand there long enough to have a conversation. I don't consider myself a gifted evangelist. You might. I don't. But I know that an authentic relationship is the way you get to know people. When you meet somebody and they're the same every single time, they're not putting a front on. So as we get to know people and build relationships, we can go deeper with them. The Lord will open that door. It might be uncomfortable at first, but He will open the door. So I have a question for you. Could connecting with those who live nearby be as simple as putting table and chairs in your front yard? Sometimes just being available, approachable, real, is all it takes to have that intentional, spiritual conversation. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, you probably have, but a lot of times it's in churches, but it could be in other types of buildings. But there's a sign that is across the back, and you see it, and it says, "You are now entering the mission field." Have you ever seen that? Well, this is a field wherever we go. And so maybe for some people, it's traveling to a remote region of the world where it's not civilized. Maybe it's the jungle or the desert. Or your mission field could be very close to home. It could be your neighbor that does not know the word. It could be somebody that you meet in the supermarket that's a cashier, that you're intentional, that you get in their line every time just so that you can see them, smile at them. It could be a section of town that you go through and you're like, "These people are so poor and they don't have any food over here. Well, how do you think they have food to buy a Bible?" They probably don't. The internet is a great place as a mission field to spread the word. So the places and the people who need to hear the gospel are where? They're everywhere. So as we reflect on the command of this great commission, accept the challenge to help take Jesus' message of love and forgiveness to all, A-L-L, everyone without exception, every community, every city, every country of the world. We have a part in that, and we can make disciples of all the nations. Here's the rest of this story about the pharmacist. I wasn't going to leave you hanging, so hang on. It was after Daddy died that I thought that I should go thank my angel properly. He had helped us out in a time of need. So I was in my car, and I was up Berno, and I was headed over towards Thomasville Road. So when I get, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. When I a lot of times go to the end of Berno Road, I ask the Lord which way I should go. And I do it for me because I don't always listen to Him. So it's an exercise for me of being obedient. So Travis tells me that the distance of either going down here to the Midway Exchange is the same distance as up here at Capitol Circle. He said, it doesn't make any difference when I get up there. You know, if he's driving, he goes, which way do you want to go? And I said, you drive whichever way you want to go. I don't believe that. This way, sure. But my favorite way is to go that way. Don't know why. So there are days that I ask the Lord which way to go. And you won't believe, I mean, I know y'all think I'm so nuts, but there are days, I don't like traffic, but I get up there and I just, like, probably, ooh, the candle went out, ooh. Drive down Barrett Road and I look and there's nobody coming from this side and there's nobody coming from this side. You know what I think? The Lord parted the Red Sea for me. For me, I have so much fun on my way where I'm going. I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm jumping up and down in my car. But for me, I have to have that to keep me on track. But this particular day, it wasn't me who was asking, but God was telling me which way to go. So my spirit was saying, take a right. Go down there to the Walgreens and thank the pharmacist that had helped you. Well, I was in a hurry. I had stuff on my to-do list because my to-do list is extremely important. I don't know about you, but mine is really, really, really important. And I'll push somebody out of the way to get my to-do list done. Well, I had to go to the right. I disobeyed. I went to the left. Hop up on the interstate. Push that out of my mind. I get up close to the exit at Capitol Circle, and this voice inside me gets louder and louder and louder, and I felt like the car was like swerving, moving, and so I'm like, okay, I'll go. What an attitude. I get there, and he's not there. He's late. He's supposed to be there at whatever time, and he's not there. So I walk around the store and wait. I get impatient, so I said, you know, I even went back and said, are you sure he's coming? They said, oh, yeah, he's coming. He normally parks over wherever. So I just go to the car and start, like, pacing around the car, like, that's going to help. And I said, well, why don't you just write him a note? You need to get going. So I take my business card. How ungrateful is that? To write a message of gratitude on a piece of paper about like that. So I'm finishing the little note, and I look up, and there he is. And I walked up, and I said, I know you don't remember me. And he said, yes, I do. You're Tina. So I proceeded to tell him how much our family appreciated what he had done. And then he looks at me and he says, I know exactly how you feel. He said, my daddy died last summer due to a medication issue. I couldn't believe it. It was not a coincidence. So he'd already blessed me once. Well, he blessed me all over again. That's because it was God's plan. It was not my plan. He asked me to do one thing, be obedient and be grateful and say thank you. So when I go to the store and he's back there, feel sorry for the people behind us because he and I just sit there and talk and talk and talk and talk. I know he's looking for a house. He's got some extra cars in his yard. His kids have been driving me crazy. I said, where are your glasses at? He goes, oh, I'm trying to get them fixed. I mean, we just chat up, you know. We don't know when those little things, you know. We need to listen. Go. Move. We were talking about music earlier. We were talking about the records when you get a good record. How can you just sit still if the record is good? You want to get up and tap your foot or move around or do whatever. You can't just sit. Dave collects all kinds of records and stuff, and we're talking about how much fun it is. He said, I'll get up and put it on the one song, play the one song, and then get another record and put it on the one song. I know most of you will not be traveling around the world to share God's love with someone. Not unless you get called. But how about your world? How about then when we're talking about what's in our world? Our neighbors are our world. Our family is our world. The people we work with is our world. The people at Walmart and the checkout line are our world. If you ever feel a nudge in your heart to go visit somebody, write a card, send a text, do it. Don't wait. Do it.